Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Which text?
Sovadaryasya karpanyam vivikta dhyatma darshanaha vimunj atma tanum goram ityukto vimumocha sovadaryasya karpanyam vivikt adhyatma darshanaha vimunj atma tanum goram ityukto vimumocha. Saha, the Supreme Lord, Hari, Anudarya Avadarya, perceiving Asya of Lord Brahma, Karpanyam, the distress, Vivipta, without a doubt, Adhyatma, minds of others, Darshanaha, one who can see, Vimuncha, cast off, Atmatanum, your body, Goram, impure, Iti Uktaha, thus commanded, Vimumocha, Lord Brahma threw it off. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord, who can distinctly see the minds of others, perceived Brahma's distress and said to him, cast off this impure body of yours. Thus commanded by the Lord, Brahma cast off his body. Purport. The Lord is described here by the word vivikt adhyatma darshanaha. If anyone can completely perceive another's distress without doubt, it is the Lord himself. If someone is in distress and wants to get relief from his friend, sometimes it so happens that his friend does not appreciate the volume of distress he is suffering. But for the Supreme Lord, it is not difficult. The Supreme Lord as Paramatma is sitting within the heart of every living being, and he directly perceives the exact causes of distress. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham vidhi sannivishto. I am sitting in everyone's heart, and because of me, one's remembrance and forgetfulness occur. Thus, whenever one fully surrenders unto the Supreme Lord, one finds that he is sitting within one's heart. He can give us direction how to get out of dangers or how to approach him in devotional service. The Lord, however, asked Brahma to give up his present body because it had created the demoniac principle. According to Sridhar Swami, Brahma's constant dropping of his body does not refer to his actually giving up his body. Rather, he suggests that Brahma gave up a particular mentality. Mind is the subtle body of the living entity. We may sometimes be absorbed in some thought which is sinful,
But if we give up the sinful thought, it may be said that we give up the body. Brahma's mind was not in correct order when he created the demons. It must have been full of passion, because the entire creation was passionate. Therefore, some such passionate sons were born. It follows that any father and mother should also be careful while begetting children. The mental condition of a child depends on the mental status of his parents at the time he is conceived. According to the Vedic system, therefore, the Garbha Dhana Samskara, or the ceremony for giving birth to a child, is observed. When the parents engage their minds in the lotus feet of the Lord, and in such a state the child is born, naturally good devotee children come. When the society is full of such good population, there is no trouble from demoniac mentalities. So our actual condition as finite souls, living beings, is very vulnerable. We're very small. And our ability to control our situation is not adequate. Basically, we cannot control. There are surrounding us other powers, other intelligences that are much greater than ours. And at least in the material world, say, these other powers, other beings, other consciousnesses are not most of them friendly. They're inimical. Material nature is inimical. She's out to destroy us. That is her assignment, her job. Like a cat playing with a mouse, it may not kill the mouse immediately. It may let the mouse run away and then catch it again. It may play with it for some time. So Maya is playing with us. But she intends not to let us out of her reach, and eventually she'll catch us and bite us by the neck and we'll be dead. Of course, the spirit soul is not killed. This is all from the mundane point of view of bodily consciousness. As spirit soul, as pure conscious living being, Maya cannot touch us. She has no influence. But because we identify with the material body is subject to destruction. Everything material. So anyway, in the material world, we're helpless. We're surrounded by inimical forces. But we have one real friend. Prabhupada talks about how you may have a friend and you may appeal to him for help. He may not even, what to speak of is being able to having the power to actually help you. That's questionable. If it's a serious problem, your friend may, with all his good intentions, may not be capable of solving your problem, relieving you of the danger. He may be just as caught up in the danger. The Prabhupada points out another problem, that it's likely or it's certainly possible that your friend will not even realize how much distress you are in. The pain that we experience, also the pleasures, are private. We generally only see the physical, external aspect of another person. We see his body. And we can deduce the condition of his mind from certain bodily gestures, from the face. The face, Prabhupada quotes old English, I guess some poet, Prabhupada studied so many, especially 19th century British poetry. He studied in the Scottish Church College. And Prabhupada's purports are full of allusions and phrases from 19th century English poetry. So I don't know who said this. It can be traced. The face is the index of the mind. Like the book has an index. I need to find a certain subject. Instead of turning all the pages, I go to the index and look it up in alphabetical order. Oh, here's the topic. Kaliya demon on page 286.
So that's the index. I look in the index and quickly see the where the information I need is located. The face is the index of the mind. I can look at the, if I have a talent to read the face, if I have the subtle knowledge, I can read the subtle position of the face, how the eyes are twisted, how the, you know, whether there's some smile, whether there's some tension showing. It shows on the foreheads, it shows in the cheeks, tension. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram. So by looking at someone's face, I can get an idea of what's going on in his mind. I can get some idea. I can see indication of pain. But I don't feel the other person's pain. Therefore, Prabhupada says, your friend may fail to even recognize how serious your distress is. He'll see distress, but he won't feel it, and he won't feel the intensity of it. Unless he's some yogi, mystic, who can actually feel other people's pain. That's abnormal, unusual. The Paramatma is your real friend. The Supreme Lord can measure your pain. Actually, he also doesn't feel pain, ever. Krishna is Ananda Ekarosa. He only, all the time, experiences pleasure. He never feels distress. In that sense, he doesn't know what it is, because he never experiences it himself. So you might think, how can the Lord actually be sympathetic? His devotees who come to this world, they experience pain. They're living entities like us. But God himself, he never experiences pain. How can he know what it is? But he does. That's his mystic power. It's God. He can do anything. Without feeling, experiencing pain, he knows what it is. And he can be the most sympathetic friend. We think we need a friend who's suffering like us. You know, so a person in the mode of ignorance picks friends who are also in the mode of ignorance. And similarly, if you're in some particular mode, you want to associate with people who are also in your mode, who know what your suffering is like and what your pleasures are like. But by doing that, by picking friends who are conditioned just like you are, which is what we normally do. Jai Shri Gornitai. We're just perpetuating our conditioning. How will we become elevated, purified of our lower conditioning if we always associate with people and things that keep us in that mode? We have to associate with someone better. Prasangam yajaram pasham atmano kavayo viduhu. Any learned person can tell you. Anyone who has read the Shastras and understands them can tell you that material association is the cause of your bondage and suffering in this world. Association means that you choose to be with people and things that are in the mode of nature that you're conditioned to. So you're passionate, you associate with passionate people and things. That will tie you up in passion. You'll become imprisoned by it. Similarly ignorance, similarly goodness. Even goodness, you associate with good people and good things. You become attached, you become bound up by that goodness. You will not be able to become free from the limitations of your material existence. You won't be able to get liberation because you're attached to goodness even. Pasangam ajaram basham. Pasha Pasha has two meanings. It's the rope that you use to catch a cow. Pasha. So the cowherds, I don't know in India if they do this, but they have some rope they catch cows with. Or they tie up cows with a rope at least. In America, the cowboys, they swing the rope from originally from Spain. They tie a rope with a loop and they throw it over the neck of the cow, even from a distance.
and they catch a cow or a wild bull that way. Lasso. I don't think you have that in India, that you tie, a ring around the rope and you throw it. But they do this in Spain. They do it because in Spain they like to fight with bulls and kill them. That's their sport, bullfighting. So you don't have that in India, but you have this matador car. People are buying. Maybe they don't have it anymore. Van called matador. Do you know what it means? It means killer of a bull, cow killer. And you're buying the people, vegetarians, Hindus are buying this cow, this car called matador. But this is a sport. They throw this rope and catch the bull, and then stick swords in him and kill him. Just for play. This is entertainment. It's in Spain, and even in southern France, they're doing this. But pasha means that rope that you catch the bull with, or you tie up a calf or a cow. It also means if you're sentenced to be hung to death, that rope that the executioner will tie around your neck, that is pasha. And Yamaraj is carrying his pasha, his rope. The Yamadutas take the rope of Yamaraj, the noose, and they pull you out of the subtle body, out of the gross body at the time of death. They have to forcibly pull you out. They tie the rope around your subtle body's neck and yank you out by that rope. That is pasha. This is figurative in the verse. Bondage is the pasha, the noose around our neck that Maya uses to keep us bound up. Just like a calf, the guala ties up the calf so he won't drink the milk from the mother. Atmano kavayovidu, this is the soul becomes bound up by his material attraction and attachment to a certain mode. Saeva sadushu krito moksha dwaram apavritam. But that same attachment that caused us all our trouble, we can use it to become free. Moksha dwaram apavritam. It will open up the doors of liberation. Attachment closes the door of liberation for us. Even attachment to goodness. But attachment, what? Attachment to what? To sadhus. What's a sadhu? Not just someone who runs away from his family and decides to live by begging and puts on some robes and wears a beard. That's not a sadhu. A sadhu is a Vaishnava. And that is clearly specified in the verses that follow this one, that the sadhus that are being talked about by Lord Kapila are the pure Vaishnavas. So, enter the association of Vaishnavas, the devotees of Vishnu. Become attached to them. Stay in their company. That will open up the doors of liberation for you. The same attachment applied to the right person, to the person who is free from the conditioning. That will free you from your conditioning. So we should associate with Vaishnavas, because by associating with Vaishnavas, we're associating with Vishnu. They have Vishnu in their heart. We have Vishnu in our heart. Vishnu's in everybody's heart. But they have awakened their relationship with Vishnu in their heart, and we haven't. Satam prasambam mamavirya samvido bhavanti vitkarna rasayana karta. By simply being in the association of Vaishnavas, what is the great benefit? They don't have a lot of money. They don't have that much influence. They can't help you with your material problems very much. So why are they better friends than my friends who have money and influence? What can they give me, these sadhus? The answer is, satam prasambhan. If you come into the association of Vaishnavas. If you simply stay with them, the great benefit you'll get. Mama virya sambhiro bhavanti vitkarna rasayana pata. You will get an opportunity to hear the glories of Krishna. Mama virya sambhida, which are full of information, sambhit, about mama virya. It is the Supreme Lord who's speaking. He says, my power, my greatness. Of course, the greatness of the Supreme Lord is not just his physical strength. Aishwaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yashasya, shriya, jnana vairagya yos chaiva, shanam bhaga itingana. Bhagawan is called Bhagawan because he's the person who fully possesses all the bhaga, the opulences. Other people possess some opulences to some degree. Bhagawan, the original Bhagawan, possesses all the opulences in full. And the basic categories of opulences are listed by Parashara Muni, speaking in the Vishnu Purana. All power to control, Aishwarya. Virya, all physical strength, that is also there, but it is only one of the categories. Yasha, all fame. If you have a good reputation, that is an opulence. If people know and respect you, you can get things done even without paying money, even without manipulating. People will just open their doors for you because they respect you. They'll do things for you. So this yasha is a great opulence, to have fame, to have a reputation, a good reputation. Your good name is the most valuable thing you can have. People will listen to you. People will help you because of your good reputation. People will remember you after you're dead because of your reputation, your fame. Jnana vairagya yosh, and your knowledge. Knowledge is a great opulence. Knowledge is power. And vairagya. It's a great power to be able to do without, to renounce. The Westerners may think the Indians are poor, but the ability to sleep on the floor, to sit in a crowded train, this is a great opulence, this simplicity, this ability to live simply and tolerate difficulty. This is vairagya. It is a great power. The man, when things become difficult, the man who is not accustomed to austerity, he will have a difficulty surviving. And the man who has the power of austerity, he will be comfortable even in a difficult situation. So that vairagya is a great opulence, a great power. The personality of Godhead possesses all of these completely. So mama virya sambhido. You come in the association of devotees, you'll hear about this amazing person who's not only rich, not only powerful, not only famous more than everybody else. He's got all these opulences. Whatever you can think of. Not only six opulences. There's just six basic categories. In those six categories, there's infinite variety of opulences. And this person has got all of it, completely. You can hear about this person if you simply associate with Vaishnavas. Sometimes the Vaishnavas are not always talking about Krishna. They're supposed to be. Satatam kirtayanto mam. That's what Krishna says. The devotees are always glorifying me. But the immature devotees, sometimes they're talking material things. Prajalpa. It's a fault. Prajalpa is one of the six things that destroy devotional service. Talking things that have nothing to do with Krishna, or even against Krishna consciousness. I can talk something that's irrelevant, just some silly thing about, oh look, they're having a war over there in some country. So what? What does it have to do with Krishna? Maybe you should know that for your preaching, but otherwise, what's the use of knowing what's in the news?
spending so much time reading the newspapers every day. What's the use? You can look at the headlines, get an idea, but why waste so much time? Pujapas, unnecessary talks, and then you can also talk about something that will harm your devotional service. You'll talk enviously and critically about other devotees unnecessarily. Just because your tongue is out of control. That's pajalpa. Also, harmful pajalpa. So, unfortunately, when devotees are immature, they cannot fully control their minds and tongues, and they talk unnecessary and harmful things. Especially since they're talking about something other than Krishna's glories. You can have indirect glorification of Krishna. You can glorify his devotees. You can glorify his creation as his creation. But you can also waste your time talking about things that don't even indirectly connect with the glorification of Krishna, or even go against it. But even in the association of immature devotees, eventually they'll say something in glorification of Krishna. Eventually they'll stop Pujapa and chant their rounds. And they might even say something in the glorification of Krishna. Sometimes. So if you stay in the association of devotees, even immature devotees, you'll hear about Krishna. Devotees talk about Krishna, even when they're also wasting time in Pujapa. They don't spend 24 hours a day on Pujapa. In the worst case. The best case, they're 24 hours a day talking about Krishna. But in between, even in between somewhere, you associate with some devotees who are not perfectly attracted to Krishna's glorification. Still, you'll hear glorification sooner or later. Bhavanti, stay in the association of devotees and you'll get that benefit. You'll hear about Krishna. Ritkarna rasayana katha. This is like medicine. Rasayana is tonic, medicine that makes you strong. You have medicine that cures the disease, but you can also prevent the disease by making your body strong. You take the rasayanam to make your body strong so it won't be attacked by disease. And there's rasayanam for different parts of the body. Rasayanam for the lungs, rasayanam for the brain. There's Brahmi rasayanam for the brain. There's Hare Krishna. There's Chavanaprash, there's rasayanam. It's especially good for the respiratory system and for just general strength. Different kinds of rasayanam for different functions of the body. Krishna Katha is specifically Vidkarna rasayanam for two organs, the ear and the heart. Because you pour it in the ear and it immediately invigorates the ear, gives strength, gives enthusiasm to the power of hearing. Who vina pashugnat, who but a murderer or a suicide could not be attracted to hearing about Krishna immediately? Any simple, honest person who isn't involved in killing others or killing himself, doesn't mean jumping off a building. Killing yourself means doing things that are so harmful that it's destroying your life. Taking addictive drugs, living an unhealthy lifestyle that eventually will kill you. This is pashugna, killing yourself. And then other people are so bad, they're killing other people. If not human beings, they're killing animals just to stuff their belly. This is also pashugna. So the meat eaters, the murderers, the meat eaters, and the suicides, people who are living so unhealthily, unnaturally, that they're just destroying themselves, they cannot be attracted to hearing about Krishna Katha. But anybody else who's living a healthy, natural life and is not violent, he should be able to immediately be attracted just by hearing. It's stimulating to the ear, just like some nice music. You turn on the radio and some filmy bhajan is there, some filmy song is there, and everyone's listening to it. They're very happy on the bus to turn up the cassette all the way up. Nobody minds. They're playing some popular song, and everybody likes to have their ears destroyed by this noise, because it's attractive. Loka Ranjana attracts the general people to fill their minds with some song, popular song. Because it's natural, it's attractive, it pleases the ear. But the Krishna Katha, if you're a healthy person, Krishna Katha will be automatically attractive to your ear. Unfortunately, people nowadays don't live healthily. Even the relatively pious people, their eating habits are unhealthy, their living habits are unhealthy, unnatural. People especially who live in the big cities, they think they have all facility and so much wealth and power, but they're living such unhealthy, unnatural lives. Eating, even if they're vegetarians, they're eating in such an unnaturally, unhealthy way. They can't avoid but getting sick and being confused and unhappy. You're living such an unnatural way. How can you be happy? But a person who is living a healthy life, who's not engaged, especially not engaged in violence, he should automatically be attracted to hearing about Krishna. And then, first of all, you put the tonic first in the ear. You pour it in the ear, the Krishna Katha. And then it goes directly to the heart. Some medicines actually go directly to the organ that they affect without passing through the brain. If something goes in the brain, then it could cause some bad reaction, some medicine, some drug. Like for
Hare Krishna,
for asthma, serious medicine is this steroids, corticosteroids. They're very strong, dangerous medicine. But they have some varieties of them that don't go in the brain. At least they won't damage the brain. You know, it goes in the bloodstream directly to the lungs without going into the brain. So like that, the Krishna Katha Rasayanam, it can bypass the brain and go directly to the heart. The brain may not be interested, maybe 1,000 miles away. Your mind may not be attentive. But you pour it in the ear, it will go directly to the heart, even if the brain doesn't receive it. Even if it's in a foreign language and your brain can't understand it, still it will act on the heart. That's a whole different topic. What Krishna Katha does when it reaches the heart. That's described by Suta Goswami and many others in the Bhagavatam. So I won't go into that now. But this is the benefit of associating with those who are in the association of Lord Vishnu. This will free us from our material attachment. Brahma is being advised, because he let his mind become associated too much with Rajoguna, he's now getting bad results, demoniac children, and now his mind is disturbed. So he went to Lord Vishnu. He didn't know what to do. A man in the mode of passion cannot figure everything out properly. His intelligence is not functioning with correct fully in a correct way. A man in the mode of passion understands some things and cannot understand others, or he understands things incorrectly. So Brahma, being influenced by passion, was confused and didn't know what to do. He had to go to Lord Vishnu to ask for guidance, and Lord Vishnu is giving him now this guidance. Give up this mentality. Put aside, you've got too much passion in you, put aside this mental body and pick up another one. Just give up this Rajoguna and start again. That's Brahma's advice, Brahma's advice that Brahma received from Lord Vishnu, and he's going to follow that advice, and he'll be able to proceed nicely with the creation. Okay, so I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, please. One question.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, if a person is unhealthy, he can't become attracted to Krishna Katha. Well, I don't mean just if a devotee gets sick. You know, if a devotee's sick, you know, sometimes as you become older, you develop more and more in Krishna consciousness. So you may become very Krishna conscious when you get old, but when you get old, you also get sick. So, but the old devotee is so Krishna conscious that it doesn't matter that he's sick. He can still remember Krishna, even though his body is sick. I meant people who have a generally unhealthy lifestyle. You know, they're killing themselves. Just like, okay, my brother is not a bad person. But he's had, you know, so many problems in his life. He's gotten in trouble doing bad things, something with drugs. He got in trouble, went to jail, got arrested for having some drugs. Yeah. And he spent some time in jail, and then he got more in trouble. He's not a bad person, but just, you know, poor luck. I see he could become a devotee. But the one thing that's preventing it is that he's a meat eater. That his eating habits are so bad that his mind is totally disturbed all the time. Not only eating meat, but you know, just eating, you know, nobody, he lives with my mother and his fiance. Nobody in the house cooks anything, ever. They'll stick a frozen pizza in the oven, or go out to a restaurant for every meal.
Jai Shri Krishna Balaram, Giriraj Maharaj.
But nobody will bother to cook anything. No arrangement, no thought about eating nicely. Only eating dead corpses, cold things, you know, things just thrown together or taken from the outside. So in such a condition, how can someone think clearly? Mind is always disturbed and, you know, and depressed. So I see my brother, the only hope for my brother if he just becomes a vegetarian. He won't do it. But otherwise, he'll never become a devotee. That's what I mean by unhealthy, living unhealthy. Just a totally unhealthy, self-destructive lifestyle. Such a person, that's Pashugna. He's killing himself. And that Pashugna, he can't be attracted to hearing about Krishna. Can't. You have to solve the problem. Not that we should be preaching vegetarianism to everybody. Let somebody else do that. We want to preach about Krishna. But actually, especially in the Western countries, they should give up the meat eating, and then they'll have a better chance to understand Krishna. They're not bad people, but they're killing themselves by these bad habits. Give up those bad habits. Then maybe you can understand what we're talking about. So not that we promote vegetarianism for its own sake, but we promote Krishna prasadam. We try to give people prasadam. Give it to them for free. Or open up a restaurant, if they want to pay for it, okay, pay for it. We'll give it to you for free, but you like to pay for it, sit down in the restaurant. Okay, we'll give you a restaurant. But take the prasadam. And that will make it possible. After they've been stuffed with prasadam and become addicted to it, maybe they'll change their eating habits and get a chance to actually understand what we're talking about. That's unhealthy lifestyle. Maybe you're not familiar with it. You haven't visited the West. You haven't seen too many Westerners, but this is how they live. They live such an unhealthy lifestyle. Well, you go to big cities, Delhi, Bombay, you can see how people live. So unhealthy. Okay? Yes. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.